Brothers and sisters, it is an incredible joy to be together, to listen to music that causes us to have our eyes lifted towards heaven, towards the one true Savior, Jesus Christ. From the Compassion Hymn, hear this line once more. When the radiance of heaven came to rescue the lost, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. I want to spend a few minutes tonight opening the Word of God just to make sure we understand the significance of what He's done. For if He had not done what the Word of God says, there would be no need to write music like this, and certainly no need to gather and sing. In fact, as good as it would get would to be at a football game right now. And as wonderful as that is, even though I don't like the Cowboys, this is what we're made for. Amen? I want to tell you a story to begin tonight that was really embarrassing. It was a story that began a few months, maybe 5 or 6 months before I met my wife. Because I wasn't yet dating anyone serious, I was always interested in seeing who it is that God might be calling me to pursue. And at my favorite restaurant, there was a young lady. She was there with her family, I suppose. I'm 24 at the time. She's maybe 22. She checks me out as I walk in the restaurant. You could tell. Our eyes met. I knew that she was perhaps digging my chili. So I walked in the restaurant, and as she stared at me and I stared at her, I thought, wow, maybe this is the match made in heaven. I smiled. She smiled back. I then went to sit at my table. Now, I was with my very best friend, Greg Miller, who was more handsome than me, going to be more successful than me. He was a pre-med major. And we sat down. His back was to her, but not mine. As dinner continued, occasionally our eyes would meet. And finally, near the end of our meal, she looks dead center into my eyes and does this. Now, this wasn't a dream. This was real. I did this, and she did this. Wow. She's aggressive, not what my mom had told me to pursue, but I'm going to get up and move towards her. And I did. And as I moved towards her, I was nervous but excited. I realized that her eyes weren't really looking right at my eyes, but they were just looking past me a bit. But I was in, kind of like radar lock. She was sucking me in. And as I got closer, I said, "Excuse me, did you want something?" And she looked at me and shook her head. She said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. My waiter was standing behind you." There I was, seated right in front of the waiter station. And the whole time she'd been communicating with him and not with me. Though her eyes looked like they were focused right on mine, they weren't. Embarrassing. I will tell you this, however. Before the meal was over, she came to my table with a piece of birthday cake that her family was celebrating. I'd be lying if I told you she put her phone number in the cake. But nonetheless, I enjoyed dessert. Why did I tell you this story? Because like that moment so often, my eyes look like they're looking to Jesus. And so do yours. In a culture like this in the Bible Belt, you know how to play the game. You know how to make it look as if you're looking right at Jesus. But in many cases, you're not. You're looking just past Him. It's proven in your anxiety. It's proven in your worry. It's proving in the way in which you nod Him into the truth on Sunday mornings, whatever church you're in, on Sunday nights like this. But are you really looking at Jesus? Are you really gazing at Him? Are you really focusing on the cross? When these words come to us, are you really thinking about Him? Do you believe that He and He alone is the way, the truth, and the life? I want to share with you a bit tonight, just a bit, about a woman named Rahab. If you were here this morning, you heard the beginning of this sermon. I'm only going to be a few minutes. But if you have a Bible, I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 2. If you don't, I encourage you to grab the Pew Bible and turn to page 179. Rahab is an amazing story, like all of the stories in the Bible. Something Kristen said a minute ago about compassion really struck me. She said, "Look at the child behind the photograph. They had the privilege of meeting one. How beautiful." Well, have you ever thought about these characters in the Bible. Though we don't have pictures of them, photos to see, God's given us these stories to look at. Rahab was a child. She was someone's daughter, some daddy, some mommy. And at some point in her life, she made a decision that she was going to pursue prostitution as her occupation. That was her story. And Joshua 2 tells us about a woman whose heart has been melted, and she so deeply longs to protect her family. She wants them to be saved. And so as the army of Israel begins to gather outside the walls of Jericho, she seeks a savior. Not just for herself, but for her family. In Joshua 2, listen as I read. I'm going to begin in verse 8. She's already had conversation with the two spies that Joshua sent. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof. And she said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who are beyond the Jordan. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." And the men said to her, "Our life for yours, even to death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you." Picture the girl behind the photograph. Picture her family as the noise of this nation begins to gather. Picture what she's hearing as the walls begin to crumble down. The darkness that is surrounding her as dust goes everywhere. This is what you must do as you read God's word so it doesn't become stale. Can you see it? Well, what happens? Turn to Joshua 6, verse 22. After the walls have fallen, this takes place. Verse 22, "But to the two men who had spied out the land, Joshua said, 'Go into the prostitute's house and bring out from there the woman and all who belong to her as you swore to her.' So the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and mother and brothers and all who belonged to her. And they brought all her relatives around and put them outside the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire and everything in it." Think about that. What did it sound like? What did it smell like? What did they see? "And they burned the city with fire and everything in it. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. But Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she lived in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers from Joshua sent to spy out Jericho." What is the message? God saves people like Rahab, a prostitute. People like you and people like me. God wasn't simply interested in breaking down the walls of Jericho to give his people this land. He was interested in breaking down the walls of a heart, melting it, convincing them of the truth, giving them irresistible grace so that they may be saved. You and I were Rahab. And he saves us. He's pursued us. He's done everything necessary so that when in the end of time judgment comes, we will escape that fire, that destruction. How did he do it? By sending his son. by sending his son to suffer that we might have life, by sending his son to die for people like Rahab, people like you and people like me. It's not a message you've never heard, but it is a message that you could miss by simply looking like you're gazing at the cross, when in reality you're looking just past it, probably to yourself, to meet some need, some challenge, some trial that we've already sung about tonight. It won't work. Ask God tonight to melt your heart, to give you the ability to see, to keep your eyes focused on the cross, to gently realign your vision, to center it right on him, right on the cross, right where that power exists. Never forget, he saves people like Rahab, people like you, people like me. Let's pray, be still for a moment, and reflect upon this, God's word. Father in heaven, we couldn't make this up. You have demonstrated your grace by leading your people and having incredible patience. And as you describe them as a nation that would prostitute themselves against you, you then extend your grace and mercy to one who takes up that occupation, and you honor her faithfulness. Faithfulness born out of heart, melted because of your word and your actions. Oh God, we ask that you would move in such a way tonight in every heart that's here, that we might be so convinced of your truth, that you would swell in us in such a way that we would go forth and proclaim this divine message of rescue. We thank you for the cross, Jesus, that you willingly went. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you convinced us of that truth as you melted our own heart. Oh God, continue to do that work which only you can do, causing us to gaze upon you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.